steps to the mic with a boom ping ping. Wisdom sharper than a bee's fierce sting. Words like fireflies that light the night. He turns the dark into blazing bright. Boom ping ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom ping ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, all the airwaves king. The ground unveils the truth where lies abound. Politics, justice, social streams. He molds the chaos into dreams. No silence here, just the sound of change. Boom, ping, ping, rearrange ya. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king or the airwaves king. Through the static, through the noise, he amplifies the people's voice. Boom, ping, ping, like a heartbeat's call. He's got the wisdom to break down walls. Yeah.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday, August 18th, 2026. Yesterday, I was out of pocket, professionally, not proverbially. And with me being gone yesterday, there was a conversation that I believe I missed. I'm assuming that at least some of my colleagues were able to touch on the previous weekend's events. I did not get my opportunity to do so, and I would like to share with you my sentiments about what transpired at the Wisconsin State Fair. And I'm also going to say, I should probably give this disclaimer that, okay, it's an isolated incident, right? Every single day of the State Fair wasn't racked with violence at Spin City, but these things happen consistently. And so I asked a question in the Hughes Views Facebook group. And if you're not a member, by all means, it's where we post information and post the story links that I may reference on this program in Facebook, on Facebook rather, so that you all don't inbox me and ask me, Sherwin, where's the link to that story? I post most of that stuff in that Facebook group. And it's also a place where you all can sound off on the issues of the day and also post your relevant stories. I do stress the word relevant because sometimes y'all just see a funny meme on the internet and put it in the Hughes Views Facebook group. Those posts will not be approved. However, I digress. And whenever I ask the question, it's a very simple question. Why are these kids fighting so much? The answers that I receive show something that is very, very clear. And that is why I want to have this conversation today, because it's not about the single incident that took place at State Fair. I also don't want to just wrap this whole conversation up in whatever crime numbers are, because the statistics tell a much different story. And as I was going through, you know, the different comments that people were leaving as to why these kids fought at State Fair, one of my favorite responses, because we talk about this stuff often, and I believe that we are a community, not that we all have the exact same education levels or income or even the same expectations for our families, for ourselves, and for our future. I believe that we are a community. I'm not just talking about black people here. I'm talking about people that can be impacted by the actions of one another. I'm talking about the greater community, where for the most part, I think we all want some of the same things. I think there's a commonality that exists amongst all of us. All of us want to be reasonably happy, want to have a little money in our pockets. I think that we want to feel safe, want to make sure that our children have the opportunities to succeed. I think there are things that bind us together. And so when I talk about community, that is what I'm speaking in terms of, this broader conversation of people that just have a bunch of similar interests, you see. And so when I ask the question, why are these kids fighting so much? It's everything from, well, they're not properly disciplined at home. I don't know if I agree with that. I think that there is an expectation or an understanding that these kids are being treated, pun intended, with kid gloves, and parents just dismiss their kids' bad behavior. I believe it's actually quite the opposite, where there are some of you that do believe in corporal punishment. When a child acts up, then you give them a spanking, or you get out a belt or a wooden spoon or whatever your method of violence is. I think that these kids are getting punched in their faces. I think that they're literally being beat up by their parents. I've seen it. Because a young mother or a young father whose frontal lobe ain't even developed themselves, that has very little patience and might be under the influence of a number of different substances, and we have to have a conversation about that. Y'all see the pitfalls of legalizing marijuana is not going to benefit our community because we can't deal with our problems when we're sober? I think these parents are beating these kids up. That's what I think. And I also think that that violence, that we couch that violence in a different kind of language. We frame it differently by saying, well, no, that's discipline. The kid sees it as they're getting beat up by their parents. They also see that if you use physical force, if you use physical violence to try and modify or correct somebody's behavior, I think that's where a lot of the fighting comes from. But one of the other responses that is fairly common is, oh, these kids don't have anything to do. They don't have any outlet. What can we build them? If they are illustrating how they will conduct themselves when they're in somebody else's space, somebody else's town. And here's the thing about the state fair. I can't even tell you the last time I went to the Wisconsin State Fair. Let me tell you why. Because the food there is disgusting. I don't want to eat fried cockroaches on a stick. I don't want nothing on a stick. Or maybe a corn dog, but you can get a corn dog at the Metro Market. I don't need to go to the state fair and pay for parking in somebody's front yard to get a damn corn dog on a stick. It's an exhibition of Wisconsin agriculture. It's cows and it's pigs and it's chickens, and it smells like poop all over the place, and you got some stupid rides. It's just not for me. But if we're to give our young people this outlet, apparently, that they so desperately crave because we allow them to go to the state fair, which I believe is and should be an outlet for the youth, because there's games, there's carnivals there, carnival rides, there's carnies. Is that offensive to call a carny a carny? You know what a carny is. They're toothless people that love the crystal meth, and they travel all around the country, and they set up carnival rides, and they're very scary. If a carny ever invites you to the back of the Ferris wheel, by all means, please don't go. We may never see you again. I'm digressing. This is what happens when I'm out of pocket for one day. But if young people are acting in this particular manner when they should be on their best behavior because they're in somebody else's place, they're in somebody else's space, they are at an event, and I would argue the Wisconsin State Fair should be for everybody, but what is this damn fascination we have with rural Wisconsin? I don't understand that. At some point during today's program, if I can get to it, I want to have a deeper conversation about data centers. Why do we care what rural people think? Do you understand that we need to be a hub for technology? Because Wisconsin don't really offer much else. Other than travel and tourism in Milwaukee, Wisconsin is an industry-less state. I mean, we make some paper in the Fox Valley. We manufacture and we produce ginseng. But other than that, and here's the thing, since when do we have more of a deep affection for the wants and needs of people in rural Wisconsin? At the same time, we're using the technology that requires these data centers to be built, because when they were destroying our neighborhoods to build the freeway that could connect those rural communities to the economic engine of Milwaukee, those rural folks didn't care about us. So why this deep affection for them? Build the data center. Now, hold on. We got to do so with some limits and some parameters. There's good data centers. There's bad data centers. You make them pay for their energy. If they're going to be stressing out the grid, then maybe they got to pay for those infrastructure improvements. But Wisconsin cannot be known as a place that is hostile to 21st century technology, or those businesses and companies will go somewhere else. I am perplexed why we care so much about rural Wisconsin. Rural Wisconsin and some of those cities and towns got a 1,000% increase in their shared revenue. swimming in money. You know how much money Milwaukee got? 10% increase in shared revenue, barely enough to cover the pensions we got to pay cops and firefighters and their spouses. So I don't know where this affection came from, but I live in the city. I'm worried about city stuff. I don't care what's going on in Ashkamunga. Sorry, but Ashkamunga don't care what's going on here. We're going to talk about that later because I'm real hot on this data center thing. Y'all over here feeling sorry for these people. You ever see what rural Wisconsinites say about Milwaukee residents? Yet for some reason, we are taking their issues in these little small podunk towns that have literally nothing. And we're elevating it to the level to where David Crowley is now being called Data Center Dave. Call him that. In fact, give me a data center nickname. I feel jealous and left out. Super Data Sherwin. Please don't get me started on that. We got to talk about this youth violence issue. Here's the part that I don't get, and this is probably my old age and maybe my ability to critical think and maybe because my frontal lobe has been developed for, I don't know, better than a quarter century. Why would you want to ruin somebody else's time? Somebody else is going to have a good time at the fair. They want to go and eat a bunch of things on a stick, a cheesecake on a stick, a pizza on a stick, some bugs on a stick. They want to eat a bunch of things at the fair, and they want to walk around, and they want to smell the pig poop, which is disgusting, by the way. I saw a documentary on fried chicken that's on Netflix. The name is escaping me, and it's an African-American man, but he's a peculiar one because he's from England. I'm always thrown back a little bit when I see an African-American man with an English accent. I don't like it. I don't want you to talk like that, sir. Why do you talk like a king? You're not. You're just English. But he eats fried chicken 3 meals a day for 30 days. So he does a bunch of health tests in the beginning of this documentary where he experiments. I guess he's documenting. I guess it is an experiment with his health because he talks about the proliferation of what they call chicken shops. In Western Europe, particularly in England and all throughout London, they got more fried chicken places in London than we have per capita here. It's insane. And he's like, oh, we grew up eating it, and everybody eats fried chicken, and we love fried chicken. He also delves into the stereotypes of African-Americans and fried chicken. But I've talked about this before on previous programs. Every single culture eats fried chicken. The Koreans eat fried chicken. The Chinese fried chicken. Even the Italians, they fry their chicken. Chicken Parmesan is breaded and fried chicken with marinara sauce and mozzarella on it. Everybody eats the fried chicken, but for some reason, black people eat fried chicken. So he eats fried chicken 3 meals a day for 30 days, and his health suffers dramatically in just 30 days. But he's also eating it 3 times a day. And then he goes to these farms where our chickens are produced, and it's literally disgusting. And I love food. You guys know that. Once you get me started talking about food, the show is ruined because I'm probably going to talk about food for the duration of the program. I love food so very much. So I saw this documentary 2 weeks ago. I have not eaten chicken since and don't even crave it because what I saw and how these chickens are produced is absolutely disgusting. The way they have to grow them and the hormones they inject in them where the chickens are dying from heart attacks because their breasts grow so big. Because when you go and buy chicken, you want a big chicken breast. That's value for your money. But the things they have to do to these birds, they literally collapse under their own weight and they're laying in their own filth. They're so big and so heavy because of these hormone injections that these chickens get because we as consumers demand a big old chicken breast. These chickens are literally dying, and so every so often, the people who own these chicken farms have to go in and pluck out the dead chickens, where the alive chickens are just mixing and mingling with the carcasses of other chickens. It's so disgusting. It's so bad. But I also have been able to separate what chicken looks like on a plate versus a feathered bird. To me, they're almost two totally different things, but this documentary, my God. Oh, it's filthy and disgusting. Now, don't worry. I'll be back to eating chicken again. It's just I got to get that documentary behind me. About the youth now. Some say that they don't have an outlet, but if we built them one, and I don't even know what it would look like. You know, I still have my MPS recreation guide, which is like, I don't know, 70 or 80 pages of a whole bunch of activities. Why parents aren't signing their kids up for that. And here's what's crazy. When I talked about it, I don't know, a couple months ago, I was like, hey, summer's coming, everybody. These kids are going to be acting wild. Here's the recreation book. I went through a whole bunch of pages and a whole bunch of different offerings. Some of the stuff is actually really cool. Learning to cook. You can play an instrument. There's all sorts of dance. Lots of constructive activities. There's a whole bunch of different pools throughout MPS where the kids can go and swim. There's just a lot of stuff to do. And the number one thing that I heard from y'all, which was terribly disappointing, because I knew that this summer was going to be bad, because it's one of the easiest predictions you can possibly make. Every single summer, and we feel powerless to do anything about it. That's why I asked the question in the Hughes Views Facebook group. Nobody has an answer. People even saying, oh, well, because Milwaukee is a violent city and the kids are going to be violent. Wait, what? And then there's always the proverbial, well, we were fighting too. No, the hell we were not, because when we were youth, we didn't want to lose what we had. Not to mention, we wouldn't go somewhere else to another city, another town, another suburb, and act a fool out there because we were highly in tune to how white people think about us in the first place. And I know some of y'all don't care about that, but they still control too much of our future, too much of our fate, because as black people, we own nothing. Nothing. I can't even get y'all to buy houses, but you'll pay $2,000 a month in rent and your furnace doesn't work. It's so frustrating. Because this also harms our political representation. Like, you think that David Crowley is not going to wear the sins of our youth when he is campaigning statewide? You think he's not? They're going to say, okay, we don't know this David Crowley guy. And believe it or not, there are people that literally have never heard of him before. Because why would you know the county executive from Milwaukee County? Or they just got familiar with him with the squeaker of a win that he got during the primary. And they say, okay, we don't know this David Crowley guy. Okay, what does he do? Oh, he's the Milwaukee County executive. Let me see what's going on in Milwaukee County. And depends on what your search parameters are, the news and the information that comes up when you search what's going on in Milwaukee County, I promise you it ain't good. And I can understand somebody from far away that does not know him, does not know us, doesn't know the dynamics of this county might say, I'm not voting for him because his county is a mess, especially the youth. Take a break, come back, talk to Linda on the other side. We're going to have to get to the bottom of this because all I'm seeing is us making up excuses. And then here's the worst part about it all. So I asked this question in the Hughes Views Facebook group. And there's always the white person that says, well, sure, when the murder rate is down and at least they're not shooting each other, how low of a standard can you have for black youth behavior? It's almost like, I'm glad they're fighting and destroying public spaces because at least they're not shooting. So wait, it's an either or? How about they do neither? How about you go to the fair and get fat and eat stuff on a stick and get cotton candy? Cotton candy is gross, by the way, but for some reason, Bailey Coleman likes cotton candy? The weird stuff that I remember when I listen to other people's shows. All right, let me take a break, come back. We're going to get to the bottom of this. Why the violence? Why the fighting? What are you fighting over? Well, it used to be just one girl was mad at another girl because of the something-something boyfriend. Okay, well, then they fight. But why don't you do it in the parking lot or do it somewhere else? Meet at McGovern Park. Sounds like a nice place to fight, and they fight, and after a while, people break it up. First of all, if people have a legitimate beef, don't break the fight up so early. Let them get it out. As long as they're not picking up, like, rocks and bricks, let them fight it out. Don't break it up so fast. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
I don't want to tolerate excuses for why young people are acting in this way. And if you want to be a bleeding heart and if you want to feel sorry for them, fair enough. But don't call me with that stuff, because I think that people have such a low standard for black children. And it's killing us, because if we have a low standard for their behavior, we'll also have a low standard for their academic success. Nobody puts high standards on black kids because we think that they're dumb or they're stupid or because they're poor. That's insane to me. It's insane. It's like we've just given up on them. oh, well, they're going to fight because, what are you saying, they're a lower order of being? You know, there's a whole bunch of people in this country that think that we're monkeys. And when we act that way, all we're doing is confirming it. It's disgusting because that's not who we are, but sometimes that is the only interaction or the only perspective the people that don't actually know black people get, and they see us acting like this. And it makes no sense. They show all this, like, this footage, and it's blasted all over the internet. It's all on the local websites. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, well, the media is making us look bad. Why do we keep giving the media stuff to put out there if we're concerned about looking bad? Isn't there some responsibility that needs to be put on us? But that's the other thing. Nobody takes responsibility for anything. It's like, if I'm fat, it's not because, and maybe there's a medical issue or a thyroid issue. There's sometimes biological factors. Sometimes it's genetic if you're fat. Sometimes you're fat because you just eat a lot of food and don't exercise and you love McDonald's so very much. But then what do? Let's sue McDonald's because I'm fat. Or when the Kias and the Hyundais were getting stolen, instead of us dealing with the issue of car theft from a law enforcement perspective or whatever other means we have to deal with grand larceny, we sue the car companies. Did you all know that Milwaukee sued the car companies because their cars are too easy to steal, so we sued them? What? Somebody breaks into my house. Do I sue the lock company? Let's talk to Linda. Linda, you're on 101.7 Truth.
Good morning, Professor. It's a good day in Milwaukee. Oh, I should say a great day. However, I'm going to make this quick because I got ADT here. But Sherwin, I've been thinking about this all weekend, and it's very, you know, heartbreaking, upsetting. But Milwaukee, Wisconsin needs to get tough on teens and social vandalism. And I just think that we need to create a law a law or an ordinance that holds parents accountable, where they have to pay a ticket or an ordinance, and if they don't pay it, they spend 10 days in jail. We need to get tough on teens and crime and negligent parents, for real. And I think that if we create a law or ordinance or policy where they have to pay for their negligence and social vandalism caused by their teens, their children, while they going to Atlanta to Rick Ross party, you know, it just needs to be recognized, because the worst of us is not the definition of the best of us, for real. That's my take as a disciplinarian, as an educator, and as a person that took advantage of these systems in Milwaukee that work, like the recreation department. I raised my sons in that until they got of age to get into the basketball, you know, thing. But when my granddaughter, I put her in the recreation, I am finna start swimming classes at recreation, because these are the things that work. Our communities that are doing great things, taking back pride in their communities, that works. And I'm calling the chief and the mayor and the governor, and I'm going to strongly suggest that we get tough on teens by citing them and their parents for being negligent. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
Have a great day.
You too. Appreciate your call. I'm so glad she said that. You hear that sentiment? You hear that passion coming from her, that she wants to get tough on this stuff and even hold the parents accountable? I understand her emotion, because it's a very emotional issue, because it's very frustrating, because I think there's a lot of us that see what our potential is, but our potential is being stifled by this bad behavior, right? But her passion, she's like, oh, no, she's going to talk to the mayor and the police chief and the governor. I don't know if they're going to do a whole hell of a lot, but you hear that sentiment? Does that sound like defund the police to you? So those of you that try to call black people woke and say we want to defund the police, no, what I heard was more law enforcement. What I heard from Linda in 2026 is very similar to what we heard from black people, black communities, and black families all over the country before the 1994 crime bill was signed into law. when we get fed up, we want more law enforcement. So we got to stop pretending like, oh, we don't like the police. We love the damn police, especially when we call them. We want them to show up right away. Now, the problem with policing is you don't know what kind of officer you're going to get. You don't know what kind of training they're going to get. You don't know what kind of mood they're going to be in. You don't know what kind of customer service you're going to receive. Because there are instances, and it's documented, where if you are a legitimate victim and you call the police, the cop will run you for warrants. And you call the police and you want to report a crime. You might be the only eyewitness to a damn murder, but now you're locked up because they ran your background. So there are people that legitimately don't call the police. The other thing is, when it comes to immigration, this is something that needs to be discussed more. If you're not an American citizen and you're in this country right now where you can be deported, literally taken away from your family anywhere you go to the Metro Market to get some Bengay. You can go to Metro Market because you want to get some California peaches and they are in season. You may never come back home again because ICE may swoop you up. So there are people who are insecure about their citizenship, and sometimes they're the only witnesses to crime and they never report it because they're afraid if they report it that they're going to get deported. So the sentiment that Linda has, I think that's one that is widely shared by a lot of African-Americans. We're not anti-crime. We're not anti-police, rather. In fact, in some cases, when we get fed up, we want more police. We want more law enforcement. We want more laws. Now, here's what would happen if we use Linda's example, because this has been tried before. In fact, I think there's a parent couple that did not secure the firearms in their home and their teenage son got a hold of that firearm and shot some kids at their high school. And those parents are doing like 5 and 15 years respectively or something like that. So that was an example of, oh, we're going to hold these parents accountable. Let's say we did something like that here. Kids go out to the state fair or whatever and they fight. We cite the child. Here's what you can't do legally. If someone didn't commit a crime, and I don't know how any defense attorney could probably get a parent's responsibility thrown out because the parent wasn't there. They can have plausible deniability. I didn't know where my child was at. I don't know they were going to fight. I didn't commit the crime. You can't hold me responsible. But if a 15-year-old gets a $205 disorderly conduct ticket, chances are the parent is going to be financially responsible for it. But if we held parents accountable, like your kid commits a crime, we're going to hold you also responsible. So what is that going to do to the black community? The mama, the daddy, and the kid are all going to be incarcerated. So there will be consequences to that. But that's not getting to the root of the damn problem. Because I don't know if y'all know this, having a whole bunch of laws to try and rectify people's behavior or curb some of their most outrageous tendencies, it doesn't work. It just locks up more people. They don't change. You can have the death penalty in a state. You think that deters murder? Go look it up. I'll let you do it. Y'all are smart people. The states that have the death penalty still have the highest damn murder rates. So more laws is not the answer, and locking up parents is not the answer. What you're going to have is a whole – let's say we did that. Kid commits a crime, misdemeanor, car theft, whatever. Oh, we're going to hold the parents responsible too. Going to give the parents 2 years, going to give the child three. 30 years later – everybody's going to say, oh, my God, these laws are racist against black children, against black parents, because look how many black people and parents were locked up. We're just repeating history like right in front of our own eyes. I'm going to take a break, come back, talk to a couple folks on the other side. I want to get to the bottom of this. If you're going to fight, just fight at home. Like, invite somebody to come to your house or go somewhere, go fight behind the school, under the bleachers or something. Why are you doing it in other places? Why are you ruining somebody else's time? But I also think it goes to show the sentiment and the mentality of these young people. They don't care. They don't care. It's on site for them. If they see somebody they don't like, they don't care who's around. Y'all, they don't even care if the police are around. I don't know about you all, but when I was younger, you know, in the 20th century, when the world was very different, I didn't want to get arrested by the police. Sometimes we wouldn't even do anything wrong. We see the cops and just start running. Yeah, we don't want to chance it. Let's just get out of here. Ooh, what is that, a squad car? Let's go the other way. These kids will literally fight each other and pull guns out in front of the police. Like, that should be terrifying to all of us. If you're dealing with a cohort of young people that aren't even afraid of the police, if they're not scared of the police, and the police can kill you. The police can kill you and get vacation time. The police can kill you and get duty disability. A cop can kill a person, say, oh, that was stressful. I murdered somebody. I'm sorry. I shot somebody in the line of duty. I'm so stressed out. You know what duty disability is? You give them $60,000 a year for the rest of their life, health insurance and a full pension, and they don't have to be a cop anymore because killing somebody stressed them out. I've seen it happen. Let's have more conversation on the other side. Millicent and Linda, you guys stay put. I'll come right back to you. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Hey, 833-212-1017 is our phone number. Let's talk to Millicent. Hey, Millicent, how are you?
I am well. How are you this morning?
Doing all right. What do you think about all the youth violence, the fights?
I agree with you about the parents being punished like that, but there is a way to get them. And before I say what I'm going to say, I don't want anyone to say, what about the other kids? Because that's not our problem. If your child is given a ticket for disorderly conduct and he's found guilty, or if he gets into some kind of trouble and you're in public housing, you get food stamps, you get any public assistance, it should be cut off. Because if I'm giving you taxpayer money to help you and you still can't control your children, you don't need that money. That will eliminate this. Once they find out you can't feed the other kids because your stamps, they've taken it from your stamps, they'll fix it. They'll fix it before taking them to jail. They'll fix it then. You find out you can't live in city housing or in Section 8 housing because your son is out here clowning or your daughter is out here clowning, you'll fix that problem because you need some place to go and you have other kids.
Millicent, what about the problem? Let me just play devil's advocate, because not all of these parents that have unruly kids are receiving stamps in public housing. It might be a little bit of a stereotype. What do you do with parents? It could be a two-parent home. They both work full-time. And maybe they're just absent parents because they're working so much and they have a mortgage. Uh-huh. How do you punish them? Because you can't take their mortgage if their kids are acting up.
You know that tax refund you get? No, you don't get it. You know all the things that the city gives you, you do not get. Because even the people who don't need assistance, you still need something. Whether it's your kid going to school, you need something. But we have to take out trying to embrace these people. They're not embraceable. You're not going to fix them. Just like you said, there's no changing them. So any monies we're putting into them is a waste.
All right, let's leave it there, Millicent, because otherwise it's going to get weird.
Okay.
All right, thank you for your call. That she just goes off on these. The longer she goes, she's fantastic, by the way, but the longer she goes, the more punitive she gets. Eventually, had I kept Millicent on the phone for, I don't know, 90 more seconds, well, if your kid's acting up, we're not going to plow your snow on your street and we ain't going to pick up your garbage. You're going to have to fend for yourself. Now, if you take her original sentiment, okay, if you're receiving some kind of public benefit and your kids are acting up and you're receiving stamps and getting public housing and we cut that off, now you got to deal with a homeless problem. And so I think that that would be compounding the issue. So I don't think that you can do that. Some of it certainly is cultural, where there's, because I try and make sense out of this, and I'm trying desperately. That's why I'm reaching out to you all, because maybe you all know something or see something that I can't. And I will admit I sometimes have blinders on, because I keep and maintain a high standard for Black people, because I know that when you set a high standard for us, we exceed it. But also, if you set a low standard for us, we'll go lower than that, you see. And so I think that I have a real specific set of viewpoints on this. I listen to and I watch the social media content. There's a whole bunch of Instagram. And some of it is social media. You go out and you act a fool in public and you get the footage. We just have this obsession with just seeing violence all up and down our timelines, whatever. And it's like when there's fights and there's violence going on, the kids get excited. Like, oh, we outside. It's lit out here. I'm like, there's nothing lit about it. You all got to go home at 9 o'clock. Y'all went out there and you closed. That's the white people's fair. But ain't no black sponsors of the state fair. I don't even know how many black vendors they have, but that's neither here nor there. That's them people's thing. Wisconsin State Fair is 170, 175 years old, where people go and they show their cows and their pigs and their sheep, and they got auctions for the cows. It's an agricultural exhibition. That's their thing. And I don't take that away from them. Hell, they don't even have it in the city. It's in West Dallas, so we got to travel outside of where we live to go to their thing. Let white folks have their damn thing. We want a state fair so bad, let's have a black state fair. Wait a minute. Don't know if we want to necessarily have an auction, because you never know what might get an auction if we had an all-black state fair. I might buy one of y'all. Highest bidder, Sherman Hughes. I'm going to put you to good use. Why are you going out there? You made them white folks go home an hour early on the last day of the fair. But I knew something was up. Let me tell you how I knew something was up. Because on my Facebook timeline, anybody got any state fair tickets? Like, I saw this, like, flood of people asking, and you know what kind of people, asking for free, who got state fair tickets left over, because I knew that something was going to happen on that last day, because the other 10 days of the fair, I didn't see people posting incessantly, oh, who's got tickets to the fair, but it's always on that last day, and that's when everything came to a head. But if you think about it rationally, imagine, what's a Black Arts Fest, MKE, or Juneteenth Day, and then I think we have like an African celebration at one of the Milwaukee County parks. Could you imagine, think for a second now, because I need us to be able to see both sides of the issue. Let's say we have a black cultural exhibition, and a bunch of white kids from Greendale, Greenfield, Oak Creek, and Franklin descended on a beautiful black event, a cultural exhibition of black culture where it's nothing but love and it's black vendors and it's black art and it's black music. And imagine a bunch of white kids came and fought and shut down our black cultural exhibition. Because you imagine if they had to close Juneteenth Day, it already ends early, that they had to close it even earlier because a bunch of white kids from somewhere else came into our neighborhood and ruined our cultural exhibition. Do you know how mad we would be? Now I want you to empathize with them, because every time a white person speaks out about our behavior, it ain't about race, because quite honestly, we would be even more angry if a bunch of white kids came into our community and shut down an African World Festival or Black Arts Fest, MK. You think about how mad we would be that we might have planned all year to have our art on display. We might have planned all year for this Black Arts and Entertainment and Cultural Festival. We might have planned all year to have some of those music acts perform, and a bunch of white kids from the suburbs are coming out there and fighting and making us have to close early. We'd be ready to burn a damn city down. Think about that for a second. Let's talk to Lisa. Hey, Lisa. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
I'm good, Sharon. How are you?
Doing all right. What's on your mind?
You know, that's a good idea. We do need a black state fair. But I haven't been to state fair since I was 7 or something. Do I tend to go back? No. Never, ever want to go back. I have nothing to do with animals. I don't want to smell them, and I don't want to see them.
So then why do we need a black state fair? We don't got no. We don't own farms.
Well, you know what? Some black people go because they said they go for the rides. I said, you done lost your mind. You're going to pay $25 for parking, $25 to get in. You could go to Great America and ride all you want to all day long for a lesser price. But anyway, I don't think we should penalize parents for their children's bad behavior. Let me tell you why. Because first of all, I had two parents, one strict one and one, you know, my mother was, you know, she was kind and sweethearted and everything. but our parents disciplined us. But my oldest brother, he was a problem. He was always trouble, okay? I feel, you know, and we were raised right. Oh, God, we were raised right. But my brother was a comedian in school, you know. But we were raised right. I feel these kids, now fighting, you can forget that. And there was all type of gangs around. You know, they knew the gang members, but they weren't stupid enough to join a gang because then they had to meet the real gang leader, and that was my father. But anyway, you have these kids that go out here, and they want to do stupid things like fighting. What we should do is, and I think we should do this, we should get them into jail. You know, put them in jail. Not amongst adults, but put them in jail. And then when you put them in jail, let's torture them.
Whoa, Lisa!
I'll give you... No, hold on. This is how you torture them. I'm going to give you two books. You're going to learn reading and you're going to learn math. I'm going to give you two books. You're going to learn a book a week. When you read that book a week, you got to give me like a 10-page essay on that book. Math, I'm going to give you algebra, geometry, trigonometry. And I might throw in another math, whatever, to torture you. Then test you on that. Okay? Then we're going to get together. It's the person you fought with is in a jail with you. We're going to, you know, put you guys together so you can talk it out. You can, like I said, you can fight it out. You can fight all day till you're tired. But at the end of the day, you're going to resolve your issue. And you're going to be in the cell, a cell, your cell, 23 hours a day. I might let you out to see some sun, but you will be there 23 hours a day. Okay.
All right, Lisa, we got to leave it there because really I got to take a break and I got another call on hold. But we get your point. Torture them by giving them academic rigors and putting them in the cell with the person that they fought. That's insane to me. But also, listen to what she's saying. That's doubling down on incarceration, even though that idea is a little wild. You're also going to find out these kids can't read. They can't do geometry. You can't. Well, here, do this geometry. And then that's going to be your lesson. Also come to find out that if you are the dumb kid in class, you get more attention. You get more special need. You get more special care. You get the special classroom and stuff. Here's the thing. If you pretend not to know how to do your homework, the attention that you get, I think that's part of the addiction. If you're doing everything you're supposed to do in the classroom, you just continue on. You just do the next chapter. But if you don't get it, if you don't understand, if you can't pass, they do all this stuff for you. You get catered to, you get coddled to. So there's almost an incentive to not want to be involved in your classwork. I can't prove this, but I do know that the amount of effort, resource, and attention that we give to the kids that are not doing well for whatever reason, I think that they see that. You get more out of not doing your homework. Oh, what's wrong? We got to treat this one special. Let's put them in a special class and do all the special things. And you have a shorter school day. Now we're going to put you in alternative school. And also there's utility in that. Because if I can illustrate, there are a whole bunch of children that are under grade level in reading and math. I get to ask you, the public, for more money, and you cough it up every single time. Can't fall into that trick. So you got the kids, that whether they're dumb or not, they'll play dumb to get special attention. And then, of course, you'll have the district that'll say, we got a bunch of dumb kids. We need more money. And here goes the public coughing up more money and then have the nerve to complain about affordability. You know how much money we could save if our kids could read? We'd be running around here naked. Well, maybe some of y'all would keep your socks on because some of y'all are weird like that. You don't get fully naked. You just leave your socks on. But that's okay. I'll take it. If our kids could read. And who do we blame for that? The whites? Racism? Stay fair? The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. Will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
I'm looking at the YouTube comments and it's just prison, build more prison, build more prison. Y'all know that we cannot incarcerate our way out of this problem. I thought we learned that. Because all we gonna do sometime later when all the data is meted out, these increased penalties, sending everybody to jail, sending the parents to jail, locking the kids up, is going to end up looking like a racial disparity. Even though this is the best part about this conversation. It's black people that want the racial disparity in incarceration because black people want to get rid of some other black people. It's also the same phenomenon where, because I never really understood this until I looked at it in terms of our community's perspective. While you have some Latinos and Hispanics that are pro-Trump and anti-immigrant, don't make no sense, right? Y'all all speak the same language. Y'all all eat pasteles. Y'all all eat empanadas. Y'all all eat, what's the things in the corn husk, tamales? I love me a tamale, by the way. But yes, some Latinos, especially the Cubans, they were like pro-Trump. Like they wanted other Latinos out of this country because the fewer Latinos that are in this country illegally, the more economic opportunity there is for the Latinos that actually got their citizenship. So I think there's some part of African-American culture that wants to get rid of certain black people, and we'll have these behavioral standards or whatever the standard is, but whatever we can do to get rid of some of them because that gives more opportunity for the rest of us, or maybe we think we can live in peace with less black people. But then I would argue, now you got to deal with more white people. Let's talk to someone who, I don't know, we probably should live without him too. Hi, Bob. How are you today? I know you've got great answers for us.
Hello, Sherwin. You know, when I was a school bus driver in Milwaukee, I had to stop the bus once a week because the kids fighting. And they said, ask me, don't put your hands on the kids because we got cameras on the bus and we have to let you go. I said, well, you don't have to let me go because I'm not going to sit down and write kids up. And they beating each other up. One little girl said, I'm going to tell my daddy. I said, you can tell your daddy, but sit down and stop hitting this boy. And then they said I was going to quit. And then they gave me a mentally ill bus, little bus.
Perfect bus for you to drive.
Because I didn't have no accidents, and I was in there every day. And you know.
So, Bob, you were driving a short bus?
Not in the beginning. I was driving a big bus in Milwaukee.
And then they put you on a short bus. So you was in the short bus.
For the first year, I was with the big bus, and then I was going to quit, and then they put me in a small bus.
How long was you driving the short bus?
1 year.
Okay.
And I quit the company because I went to Germantown.
Oh, boy.
And do you know what was interesting? So I don't know if it's the kids or the parents. I didn't have to stop the bus one time. 3 years I drove the bus, and then I had a stroke. That Germantown the last year, I didn't have no fights.
Why do you think that
is?
Tell me why that is.
I mean, they was all white kids. That's all I saw. And they were mostly black kids. In Milwaukee.
So you think it's just a race? Hold on, Bob. I want to make sure we're clear here. So you think it's just a race thing? White kids are just better behaved, at least on your school bus, than black kids are? So black kids are inherently flawed when it comes to their behavior. Is that what you're saying?
I think it's the era. The era is different. I went to the grocery store and I spent $99 and $98, $90 to $98, and then I spent $140. This week, I said,
Bob,
wow.
Hold on, Bobby, because this stuff you're starting to get into. Hold on. I need this to make sense to people other than just yourself. You're talking about an era, right? So the era refers to a period of time. If the black kids is acting up and the white kids are not, the era is the same. We're all in the same year. The culture is the same. The music is the same.
No,
then white kids listen to hip-hop too now.
It's different, man. And when I was in Illinois, black music cut off at 12 o'clock when I was young. And that was it. And then black music go all the way in 24 hours.
So Bob,
now,
how does that explain the white kids and their behavior being better and the black kids' behavior being more poor? Because music used to cut off at 12 o'clock back in the 60s?
These white kids, they just don't fight. Them white kids didn't. Because they treated me like I ain't nothing.
What grades were the kids? What are the ages?
In high school. They were both in high school.
Okay.
All right. And when they gave me the small bus, I bought some toothpaste, and I turned around, and them kids was eating my toothpaste and standing up on the bus. So I'd have to stop the bus anyway. So I said, you know, and I should have stayed because I'm a, yeah, I could help the kids. And,
no, you can't. You know, no, I don't think so. I don't even know if you can help yourself. They were eating your toothpaste? So, wait, this is the short bus kids. That I believe. I believe they were eating the toothpaste on the short bus.
Yeah, and then standing up and walking. So I said, I just quit, and I went to Germantown. And then I didn't have to stop the bus, and I drove for 1 year and had the stroke.
Okay. And the Germantown kids were not. In Germantown, you was on a long bus, big bus, not a little bus.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a high school kid, and they didn't fight. Okay. And they looked at me like I wasn't nothing. You ain't nothing but a school with some of, and I just smiled. Right. Some of them spoke, some of them didn't, because I wasn't nothing, and I just smiled.
But, Bob, didn't the black kids also treat you like you weren't nothing? Because if you told them to shut up and to sit down and to stop fighting, they wouldn't respect you, correct?
No, they speak, and you know, but,
so
you
the
know,
black
they
kids, hold on a second. So the black kids were nicer but fought more? The white kids fought less but
once
were meaner?
Once a week.
Okay.
Once
I'm not getting anywhere. Here's the thing. We don't have a solution, is what I'm trying to illustrate. We have no idea what to do. Take away the food stamps, lock up the parents, build more jail. We don't know what to do, and it's embarrassing because this is literally our future that we don't know what to do with, a problem that we cannot solve. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for hour two.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.